Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
For the Better Business, Better Series, I'm Will Johnson. We have all read or heard about the enormous problem of childhood obesity. The long-term health consequences for children and society can be devastating. Many factors contribute to the problem, and there is no one solution. We know that your family background, your genes, where you live, your diet, and your lifestyle all play a role. One topic that gets a lot of attention is food advertising to kids. Today, we are going to talk about a program that has spent the last decade working to improve the foods advertised to children. The Children's Food and Beverage Advertising Initiative is a program designed to tackle these challenges. And we're talking to Maureen Enright, director at the CFBAI, and Brittany Oberdorf, program manager there. Maureen was previously consumer protection lawyer at the Federal Trade Commission and in private practice. Brittany is a registered dietitian and previously worked on healthy school regulations for the government of the District of Columbia. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you, Will. We're happy to be here.
Maureen and Brittany, we have come a long way in terms of food advertising on TV. Ads are a lot different today than they were a while back. At least when I was a kid, we had a lot of animated characters jumping around on sugar mountains and things like that. So let's talk about what was going on even just, say, 10 years in the world of food and beverage advertising. What was happening there and what made it sort of a natural fit for the Better Business Bureau to get involved?
Okay. Well, 10 years ago, there were no comprehensive programs that looked solely at food advertising to kids and that let the industry as a whole pay more attention to exactly what foods they were advertising to kids. The country was growing increasingly concerned about childhood obesity and really was looking across the board to all parts of society to see, you know, how everyone could help.
So prior to 10 years ago, there was really nothing out there in terms of that specific issue.
No, that's right. Some companies had their own individual policies, sort of hit or miss. Not all food companies had that. And parts of the federal government, like the Institute of Medicine and the Federal Trade Commission, asked the advertising industry and the food industry to think about what they could do to help improve the food advertising landscape for kids.
So not to be too obvious, but advertising industry, so people who, the folks behind the foods that are being made and put on television.
Yes, that's right. They wanted to see foods advertised that were reduced in sugar, that had less sodium, and that had more of the food groups and the nutrients that, you know, we want kids to eat more of. And at that time, Better Business Bureau already had a self-advertising program for kids called the Children's Advertising Review Unit. And KRU, which is what we call it, looked at how all products were advertised to kids. Were toys advertised in a way that was misleading to kids? Was there peer pressure used in food advertising? Issues sort of like that.
So that already existed.
Yeah.
So the BBB got involved and said, hey, we can
right.
do something
here. It seemed like a natural place for, you know, what foods were advertised to kids. So a second program was created, the Children's Food and Beverage Advertising Initiative. And that, our program, looks at what foods are advertised to kids and sets nutrition standards for the foods.
And so if we look at what was going on 10 years ago, where, again, it was clearly something needed to be done, childhood obesity rates on the rise, what is going on today? What are the major impacts the program is making? And you've gotten companies, a lot of companies involved, right?
Yes.
That
yes.
people know about. Big
oh,
ones.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Big companies, the big food companies. We started in 2006. The program was created and sort of launched in 2007 with 10 companies. And at that time, they all committed to use nutrition standards for the foods they advertised to kids. We covered lots of media, radio, TV, print, digital, internet. That was sort of what was around then. And companies had their own nutrition policies. Over time, CFBAI and its participants made some big changes. We covered some additional media. As media changed, we changed. We covered mobile apps, you know, streaming video now. We try and watch what's going on in the media world.
Because there's a lot of places, not just TV every day, but where kids are seeing advertising on digital devices, phones,
right.
iPads, whatever.
Right. And we focus not just on what they're seeing, because out in the world they can see a lot, but what's directed to kids. So when we're on TV, all the ads on, you know, Cartoon Network, Nickelodeon, things like that.
So as parents, as you're walking through the TV room or, God forbid, you're sitting there watching a program with your kids, their favorite show, and you're not seeing what you grew up with, there is a reason that that is happening, and it's involved in what we're talking about right here.
Yes, although Brittany's going to talk more about and give you some specifics about the foods, but what we like to say is you may actually see the names of foods that you will recognize.
Okay, so Brittany, let's talk about some of the specific foods. What are we talking about? What are the ones that kids like to eat that it maybe had higher contents of sugar or fat or one thing or another that's changed over time?
Sure. Well, today, 18 companies participate, and I think it's worth noting that these companies are the nation's leading food and beverage companies, consumer packaged good companies, and quick serve restaurant companies. And they make one of two commitments. So first, some of the companies commit to advertise only foods that meet CFPA's strong nutrition standards.
So the standards that you have set up within this program.
That's right.
Okay.
So we see most often foods like whole grain cereals and whole grain crackers, low-fat yogurt, and meal combinations that now include whole grains, whole fruits, and milk in 100% juice. So we didn't see those decades ago, and I like to think that CFBAI, in part, was behind those changes.
And let's talk about cereal. Cereal's a big one. Kids love cereal. And again, I keep going back to what we grew up with, but it was just, it was mayhem, it seemed. Saturday morning was just full of sugary cereals.
Sure. We often talk about cereals. Cereals are the most frequently advertised to kids, based on our samples we do each year. That's what kids see the most on programming that's directed to them. And they also provide a great measuring stick of progress for us. And looking over the past 10 years since CFBAI started, cereals really have changed remarkably. Before we started, popular kids' cereals had as much as 50% more sugar.
50%, that sounds like a lot.
Yeah,
okay.
It certainly is.
I mean, it is a lot.
Yes.
All right. And so that's dropped dramatically. And sugar, as we all know, is bad. Right?
Well,
some types of sugar?
Don't say that to a dietitian.
I know. You know what? I take that back. I shouldn't have gone there. Sugar can be unhealthy for you, depending on how much you take in, right?
That's true. But sugar also is functional, and it helps to make certain foods like whole grains more palatable to kids.
Okay, we'll do another show on that. We'll do another show on sugar.
Sure.
All right, keep going.
Sure. So our cereal participants over time have worked really hard to cut sugar gradually over time and in their flagship products. And at the same time, I mentioned whole grains, and not only are they reducing sugar, but they're also increasing the amount of whole grains, which have benefits like fiber and feelings of fullness and satiety for kids.
Okay. Let's move over into another big industry, if we could, which is the quick serve industry. A lot of people know that as the fast food industry. And it's where a lot of us, when we're in a rush or we're in a hurry, or simply it might be our kid's favorite place to go for a special occasion. It used to be you wouldn't find things like a bag of apples in certain fast food restaurants. That has changed as well.
Yes. Quick serve restaurants also have made sweeping changes to their foods, to their menus, and to their advertising. McDonald's and Burger King are two quick serve restaurants who participate in our program, and now they offer and advertise kids' meals that contain fresh fruit and low-fat dairy. These companies, they're responsive to consumers' concerns about obesity, and they continually innovate and create options for kids that are tasty and healthful.
So when McDonald's and Burger King are getting involved, you know this is not just something that, you know this is important. The idea of serving kids food that's going to make them healthy throughout life and set habits at a young age also, right?
Yes. Yeah. And the scale and impact of the changes of these two companies, either one of them really, let alone both as CFPI participants, is just enormous. I can tell you, a couple of years ago, McDonald's introduced Cuties Mandarins as a side option for their Happy Meals. And in a period of less than 2 years, McDonald's USA sold more than 53 million Cuties with their kids' meals.
Well, so I know my 10-year-old likes Cuties, and that's a great idea. I mean, that works perfectly. Let's take something that's small and edible and delicious and put it in our Happy Meal. So, okay, that's one example. Any other examples?
Yeah, if we pull back a little bit farther and take a look at the past 5 years, since 2012, McDonald's has served more than 2 billion fruit or low-fat sides in kids' meals.
Okay.
Which is just astonishing.
Yeah, that is huge. So, Maureen, companies want to do this, right? I mean, we're talking about a societal trend, something that's in the ether all the time, eating food that's healthy, and we've changed a lot. So these companies want to get involved. And why do they want to get involved?
Well, they want to be responsive to their customers, to consumers. They know that there's great interest in more healthy foods, in exercise and diet, and consumers want assistance in meeting those goals.
And it can't just all be PR. I mean, it's not. I mean, it's great to say, yeah, we're doing this, but it has to have a bottom line effect.
Yes, and this is a voluntary initiative.
Right.
Companies choose to join. And unfortunately, not all members of the food industry, not everyone who's out there advertising to children join. So it's a competitive market, too, a very competitive market. In fact, our participants compete against each other. But in light of all of the concern across society about childhood obesity, they decided that it made more sense to have a coalition of like-minded people and try to improve kind of more industry-wide than on an individual basis. So they're still fierce competitors, but this allows them to sort of channel their focus in the kids area to improving those foods that are advertised to kids. And, you know, they've succeeded. As Brittany was detailing, there's been real changes. The foods may have the same name sometimes, but what's inside the box, what's part of a Happy Meal has changed.
And we've changed as consumers over time. People are paying and have been for years, but we pay a lot more attention to what's on the back of a box nowadays, it seems, than we did when I was a younger kid.
I think that's right. And, you know, we don't set the rules for labeling, but, you know, there's changes there too. And those are going to still keep coming. So it's something that's still going to be top of mind for food companies. And when they look to BBB, they not only join a self-regulatory program, but we bring to it a tradition of transparency, accountability. We monitor the media that our participants are on. We issue annual reports and fact sheets, statements on issues. We try and be the go-to resource for our participants to keep them up to speed on food marketing to kids. We're kind of like the only program out there that all we do all day long is food marketing to kids.
I was going to ask, how do you sit 24/7 in front of the TV and monitor?
No, but we do have, we've all spent our time
paying attention to it
and going through logs of ads and stuff like that.
Right,
It can be fun, you're right.
So as parents, we say goodbye to our kids in the morning, we hug and kiss them, drop them off at the school bus or drop them off at school, and then they're free to go eat whatever they want. They're in school. What's going on in school lunches? Another big area. Brittany.
So school lunches got a major overhaul in recent years, and a lot has happened in the past 6 or 7 years since the Healthy Hunger-Free Kids Act. This piece of legislation updated decades-old nutrition standards for the federal school meal programs, and these nutrition standards were embraced by Mrs. Obama as part of her Let's Move campaign, and certainly she helped to generate a lot of interest around kids' nutrition and combating obesity. But backing up a little bit, even before all of that, CFBI participants voluntarily were addressing the school food environment. They committed to not advertise in schools, even foods that meet CFBAI's nutrition standards.
So there was advertising in schools before this? I haven't been in elementary school in a long time. But you would see possibly ads or a poster or something like that for food that maybe shouldn't be front and center.
Yes, there were the things that the companies have agreed not to do anymore were, you know, putting names on pencils,
sure, okay,
tray liners that might be on your cafeteria tray, posters in a hallway, under our program, you can't market in that way to kids in schools.
Okay.
On the other hand, CFBI recognized that schools often have partnerships of long standing with food companies or other companies revolving around fundraising, sponsorship, and we permit those sort of activities. They're totally discretionary. The schools can choose not to do them or not, but we allow the companies to partner with their communities or with schools.
Okay. And as I understand it, companies also regulate or rather recognize that schools are a very different environment.
Yes. And that's why there's no marketing. Even our companies don't even market their foods that qualify under our standard in elementary schools.
Are there other areas that we're not talking about, like camps, or there's a lot of places where kids are out and about these days, not outside of school, where an impact could be made?
Well, our focus is advertising to kids on their media and in schools because that's where they are
that's
and
the
there's a
time.
Concentration. And kids are out and about lots of places, but for the most part, they're not just kid environments. You know, they're environments for everyone. And in fact, kids could just be a small part of that.
We can't monitor and regulate the shopping mall, for instance.
Right. That's a general audience and mostly for adults.
Right. All right. So what's next? Brittany, what's buzzing out there in the world of food and health? And, you know, organic food has been a huge trend, I know, and will continue to be one. What's next, though?
Well, there are a lot of hot topics in nutrition, I think, for CFBAI. Looking ahead, we are considering ourselves whether we should strengthen our scope enhancements of what we consider to be child-directed programming, and we're also taking another look at our nutrition standards.
And so that sugar content coming down 50%, can you go further? Is there a need to go further?
That's what we're exploring.
Okay.
All food companies are trying very hard. They've gotten the message, and it can take a long time to make changes that really affect the taste in food. So it's kind of a journey that can take a couple of years. So in the meantime, we're kind of looking at our nutrition standards. You know, the Dietary Guidelines for America came out last year. We're looking at those. Last year, we also created a brand new program that's just for the confection companies. So in our CFBAI, we already had Hershey and Mars, Nestle, the biggies. And our new program, the Children's Confection Advertising Initiative, is for small to medium size companies. So they can make the same commitment. They're not advertising to kids. And, you know, we tried to look at it from the business perspective of who else can we bring into this initiative and show their responsible marketing.
So that's really interesting to think about the confection industry, because if you have a favorite candy bar and all of a sudden the recipe is changed up a little bit, and I'm sure companies are probably loath to do that in some cases, that's a big change, right?
Well, that, you're right. That is a big change. And, you know, our candy companies, both in CFBAI and CCAI, they don't advertise to kids at all. They're just not on kids' media. You won't see that on Nickelodeon, on Cartoon Network. So, you know, they may advertise to adults, but they're not directing their ads to children.
And has that been that way for a long time?
Well, some have had a tradition of that, and some, since they've joined CFBAI, have moved into that category.
Okay, thanks to both of you for joining us today. And if you'd like to learn more about the CFBAI and how businesses can get involved in the initiative, Brittany, where should people go?
Please visit our website. That's bbb.org/kids_food.
Or if you want to keep it simple, Google CFBAI.
Google works too. All right. Thanks to both Maureen Enright and Brittany Oberdorf for talking with us today. And be sure to subscribe to the Better Business, Better Series podcast to hear more about programs like this one and a whole lot more. For the Better Business Bureau, I'm Will Johnson.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.